folks. Welcome to the East Texas News Roundup. I'm Valerie Riddell, News Director for Polk County Publishing, and I'm here with all of our editors for the first time in a very long time. Hey, everybody.
Howdy.
Howdy.
Ms. Tog.
All of you.
So we're all here, and we're going to kind of go around the table and bring you up to speed on all of the news in all of our coverage areas. So let's start out east first. Chris, what's happening in Tyler County?
Well, hey, everybody. Chris Edwards here from the Tyler County Booster. And for our eastern faction of coverage, it's been a relatively slow news week last week up till now. Woodville Police Chief Scott Yosko was joking with me the other day, and he said that pretty much everything that they've been doing big, or the Sheriff's Department for that matter too, has ended up on the front page in the last few weeks. But this edition, not so much the case, been kind of quiet. But one thing I'd like to bring everybody up to snuff on, and those listening out there, if everybody's familiar with this story and the developments in it, but let me go ahead and get current out of the way first. At the Woodville City Council meeting on Monday night, there was a presentation made by a lawyer representing the concerned citizens of Tyler County. Now, to kind of provide a little backstory here, the concerned citizens of Tyler County are a group of citizens who are opposed to the building of what they call an industrial slaughterhouse, which was proposed.
It's a meat packing plant,
yes. Right.
If you eat hamburgers, somewhere a slaughterhouse is involved.
Absolutely.
Because we don't eat them raw off the hoof.
We don't.
Y'all don't?
Well, maybe y'all do in San Jacinto County, Jacob, but most of us don't.
No, we like ours medium well.
My immune system won't allow for that.
I tell you, good steak, medium rare.
But there's lots of folks over there that are up in arms over.
There are still, and what happened last year with this was, in 2018, a group of investors acquired some land a little north of Woodville near Doucette, actually, which is a little unincorporated community, a little north of Woodville.
It's in Woodville's ETG. Right,
it is. It's in their area of service. And the city of Woodville drew up a service agreement to provide utilities to this site. Now, there's been nothing built on this site yet by the company East Texas Packing Company, who is in charge of the construction and operations of this eventual plant. But the concerned citizens group, they're vehemently opposed to the construction and operation of this plant. And their attorney, Dallas Barrington, who comes from Koontz, down Hardin County Way, made a presentation to City Council on Monday. And his contentions, and he's been working with this group for 6 months now, his contention is that the city entered into this agreement hastily without their due diligence of doing an environmental study. And also, he claims that East Texas Packing Company is a fraudulent company, that nothing exists.
But that's but I want to get it quickly to the point that that's baloney.
It is. It's very easily disproven. Anybody with basic access to the internet can go to the Secretary of State's website and see that there very much is an East Texas Packing Company LLC, that their registered agent and office lives in Woodville, Texas. Of course, Mandy Reisinger, who's a city administrator in Woodville and who drew up the agreement in June of last year, stated that the city of Woodville is not in a position to deny businesses who are outside of their purview, where ordinances don't exist. They're in no way, shape, or form going to deny them.
Right. No, you know, no water provider can just say, hey, we don't like what you're going to do. We want your widgets to spin counterclockwise instead of clockwise. So we're not going to provide you water.
Exactly. And, you know, it would be like Entergy saying, you set up shop somewhere, you move into a neighborhood. Well, we don't like you, so we're going to deny you power to your house or your shop or whatever. The way she explained it was that we are but service providers. But I think this won't be the last we hear from the concerned citizens. They're going to keep after this matter and probably present some more information. And it was just odd to me that claim that the business doesn't exist when it clearly is a taxable entity registered with the Secretary of State's office since 2017, actually.
Have you heard from the organizers of this business lately? I mean, are they still on go? Because I've heard a little bit that they might be reconsidering, but
I had heard that too, but the last I'd heard from one of the spokespeople was that all systems were go. It's been a slower rate of progress than what their timetable had originally stated, but all systems are still go, just dragging a bit.
But that basically the opponents want this Woodville city government to take some action that they're not authorized under Texas law to do.
Exactly. That was the thing that was odd about it to me, was that the attorney was asking city council for some help on this matter and asking them to reconsider the service agreement, when in fact the service agreement was just a utilities service agreement, right, that they would provide utilities to this site. Nothing more, nothing less.
Yeah, cities don't bless or disavow businesses.
Right. So, but aside from that city council meeting and in that presentation on behalf of the concerned citizens, and I wanted to bring that up because, like I said, it's been a quiet news week in Tyler County, but that is still something a lot of people are concerned about and following and have a lot of questions about. Other than that, we had a couple of ribbon cuttings last week. There's a new urgent care center in Woodville, the Dedicated Medical Urgent Care Center, which is headed up by Kerry Evans, who's a longtime doctor, would be familiar to a lot of people in the area. He actually worked here in Livingston at the ER for quite a while, and he was in Woodville at the Tyler County Hospital as head of emergency services for quite a while. And so pretty well known to people in the area. And the chamber did the ribbon cutting Thursday for that. And then the very next day, we had the grand reopening for the family medical clinic there in Woodville as part of the Tyler County Hospital system. And that now offers urgent care, a walk-in, no appointment needed clinic. Mm-hmm. So more opportunities for urgent health care in Tyler County.
Good. And I guess backstepping between those and the new ribbon cuttings, what's the job outlook for folks in Tyler County? Because they have struggled with the highest unemployment in our coverage area.
It has been historically hovering near the bottom. And the last figures I saw, it's been a while. I'm going to have to get back to that.
Okay.
Because
but we'll keep people up to date online. I know we've got a story coming out in today's Enterprise about unemployment. And I know that it's just ironic that folks are protesting this business that would bring
some jobs.
Bring
yeah.
quite a few jobs.
When to an area that aren't many.
Nobody.
The last time I saw any unemployment figures for Tyler County was in December, actually.
Yeah. But it always has been competing with some of the communities along the border that are classified as colonias, or with Jasper County as being the highest unemployment.
Jasper's always been, really high.
Or Newton County. What's happening over in your neck of the woods?
Before I do that, I was going to comment. That actually reminds me how a few years back we had the ICE detention center that was kind of bouncing around between Cleveland and Shepherd, and then a lot of people protesting it when it was going before Cleveland City Council, which they held that particular meeting at the Cleveland Civic Center as opposed to City Hall, because there are a lot of people there that were protesting it. There were signs outside of the Civic Center that were protest signs that were describing it as like they were the people that were building it, which their name escapes me for the moment, but they had signs that were describing them like a snake oil salesman and stuff like that. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Well, there was something similar with this facility last summer when City Council in Woodville signed the service agreement in June. You had a lot of protesters with these signs basically describing the people. If the signs weren't arguing for clear transparency in government, they were describing the people who were coming in to set this up as basically snake oil salesmen, or this some kind of nefarious bait and switch operation. So.
Well, see here, what one of the deals was, a lot of people were looking into this, and of course I'm going off memory here, but what the basic arguments for people were going against this was, A, they felt like it would be something that kind of is like an eyesore for Cleveland or Shepherd, depending on who you were at the time when it was kind of going around, because you know it's a detention center for illegal immigration, and people were concerned, and there were safety concerns too. Which, I mean, Cleveland has their local prison over there, but it's a low-risk prison. So, I mean, that's kind of where some people do feel differently, because when it's a detention center, you don't really know who's there in the detention center. You know, and I'm just saying, you could have someone who's coming across the border looking for better opportunities, or it could be a person who is in a gang. So, I mean, you always have to be careful.
We have detainees here because we have the two prison units out on 350. We have Polinsky unit, who has death row, and nobody's ever escaped from there. And then next door, we have the IAH Adult Secure Detention Center, and that has historically been immigration detainees. It brings easy to qualify for jobs.
Absolutely.
I mean, the jobs picture for people entering the workforce has really changed since those two guys came to town.
Well, see, that was the other issue that people had, was a lot of people were talking about the economic benefits, you know, bringing jobs, get local people to do the work, you know, building it, being employed there and all that. The big issue that people were having, and it was one where I felt like, okay, this does warrant further investigation is apparently where a lot of the people that were protesting it were coming from is that there's this whole idea that there's all these detention centers that had very few inmates in there when they had like maximum capacity. Mm-hmm. But it's like maybe 100 people could be housed there, but there's only like two or three. So why are we building another one when they're not necessary? And supposedly there was a county where this was built and then it got shut down and it became a tax burden. And that's where a lot of people were like, you know, okay, we don't really want that to happen. So, but I mean, the project eventually got shut down. Yeah. So it ended up not mattering anyway, but it just kind of reminds me of people, you know, getting into all this. This is where I couldn't help but think of that. So anyway, over on our end on San Jacinto County.
You've had the princess beat.
I'm sorry?
Your princess tea party.
That was a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
We did have that.
Good job of covering something that you're probably not very familiar with.
It's been going on for a couple of years, but no, I did not cover it before. But it's a pretty big fundraiser for them over in Cold Spring. It's for the Cold Spring Area Public Library. That library has actually been coming up here recently as well, because the library has multiple fundraisers. I want to say about five or six every year. So, I mean, aside from the Princess Tea Party, they had, like last year, you would have seen the garage sale that they have. Mm-hmm. It lasts for about 3 days, and that's usually where they get a lot of their money. And they also have the fun walk that's over in Cape Royale. Last year's garage sale did not do too terribly well. I mean, I shouldn't say not that bad, but it was just short of their expectations. Roughly, they were hoping to get just short of $3,000 more than what they pulled in. So here at the most recent Cold Spring City Council meeting, which was last week on Monday, they had asked for the city to give them a little more to compensate for that. And the city was already giving them $11,500, you know, already. Yeah. So they decided to give them, at first they approved an extra $3,000. They said they were about $2,800 short of what they were hoping to meet at the garage sale, but they decided to give them an extra $3,000, and then they decided that brings up to $14,500. They decided to give them an extra $500 just to make an even $15,000 to help them with some of the stuff that they want to do. But that library operates on pure donation.
Yeah.
They have, that's usually their only source of income. So we were having them pop up here a couple times, but it was definitely a nice gesture on the city's end. And they didn't really deliberate on that at all. Yeah. They just decided to go ahead and do it for them. Mm. It's been pretty quiet on our end too, just like it has been for Trinity County. But we did have some interesting things going on this past week. One of them is we have 13 seniors engaged in a cross-country bike ride. And they started in St. Augustine, Florida.
Wow.
And they're going through the southern states towards San Diego, California. And they stopped by Cold Spring. This is actually, within a few months, we've actually had this happen before. We had a couple of boys from Germany. I believe they were actually coming from California going to Florida, if I'm not mistaken, but I could be wrong on that. But it seems to be a trend. And here we have these people passing through Cold Spring. They stayed at the same place as the two boys from Germany, which was the Sunday Houses. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we actually focused on one woman in particular. Her name is Carol Garcia, and she was the oldest woman on the group. She is 77 years old.
Wow.
And to quote her, "I don't feel like I'm 77. I feel so blessed that I am where I am with my health and with my mentality." She's a breast cancer survivor. She's 25 years from that.
Wow.
This is actually the second time that she has done a cross-country bike ride. The first time was back in 2006, about 13 years ago. So she would have been about 64,
yeah,
I do believe. And she went from the northern states, so it was over in Washington, all the way over to Maine. I'm sorry, I do forget what cities she had mentioned up there, but regardless, from one side of the nation to the other. It's a 3,000-mile bike ride.
Ow.
And they do this over the course of 2 months, roughly. Yeah. They left on February 12th, and they were in Cold Spring here on March 7th. Mm-hmm. And at that point, she said that was about 1,060 miles. So a little over one-third of this bike ride. It's an interesting thing. I mean, she's wanting to inspire people. You know, if she can do it, then, you know, other people can do it too.
Wow, they're going to ride through the desert.
Yes. Yeah. Those two boys, I do believe they mentioned that the terrain was interesting on the western end as well. I forgot, off the top of my head, I forgot what all they had said about that. But yes, they are going to be going through the western end of things. You have these older folks who are proving that no matter what your age, you can still
right.
accomplish great feats. And they do have GoFundMes for people mm-hmm. to fund their equipment and their mm-hmm. gear they need, which is expensive, yeah, from what she had told me.
And are they, did I read that they're like staying in hotels at night and stuff like that? Or how are they?
They have, the places that they stay there are usually prearranged. Yeah. Like here at the Sunday houses or
yeah.
and hotels, motels, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. They did mention like, you know, having to get their bikes up on the second floor of a motel.
Oh boy.
And whatnot. Yeah. Which, I mean, that, a lot of fun there. Her GoFundMe page is actually still up, and her trip is funded, but she's actually letting people still contribute to it. And any money that is over what she needed actually is going to places that were going to be dealing with breast cancer,
oh,
heart
good.
Disease, yeah. I think lung cancer, and diabetes as well.
Okay.
She's going to donate all that.
All right.
Very good.
Then we're going to move to the other side of the lake and see what's happening with Jason Klopik in Trinity County.
Well, Jacob, you've now given me some motivation for what to do in my retirement days. I think I'll go for a cross-country bike.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, Jacob, but you're a big guy. Would y'all go run and get her bicycle and take it upstairs?
Of course.
Yeah. I mean, I would if I saw that. But I mean, at the same time, I have a lot of people that are like, no, I can handle it. And,
yeah.
You know, and then I'm at a moral dichotomy. Of okay. sorts. You know, do I be the gentleman and just right. dismiss that and do it anyway, or do
well,
I?
You can carry my bicycle anytime if I ever okay. lose my mind enough to buy another bicycle.
Well, on the note of senior citizens, we have a Trinity County native who celebrated 100 years of life on March 4th. Her All name right. is Agnes Freeman.
Nice.
She was born in Apple Springs on March 4th, 1919.
Wow!
And graduated from Groveton High School.
Yeah.
And now she lives in the Trinity Rehabilitation and Health Center in Trinity. So she's made the Highway 94 world tour.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I enjoyed visiting with her last week. Lots of interesting stories. Her and her husband raised two children in Houston and
yeah.
lived in Crockett. Came back and forth to Groveton quite a bit because her in-laws lived in Groveton.
Yeah. Well, what about on the official front? Are the Lions and Tigers on Commissioner's Court?
Lions and Tigers and Bears, oh my.
Yeah.
Well, Commissioner's Court, they tabled two things. One of them being the county maintenance building. Like the judge proposes having it on the grounds of the airport, mm-hmm. but some people are against that. So that's been tabled like two or three times. But the reason the judge wants it on the grounds of the airport is the county already owns that land.
Yeah.
They won't have to go out and buy new land. And the judge also made an appearance at the Trinity Lions Club and spoke on a few things. And they're in the preliminary talks mm-hmm. of a possible new jail, a bigger jail.
All
I've
right.
been talking about that for years.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's been Woody's goal since he got in.
Well, so, even before yeah. Woody went back when Brent Phillips was the sheriff in Trinity County, it was a big problem because you can only hold, what, 8 people
yes,
in the Groveton jail?
Looks like a museum.
And they're paying Jacob's friends in San Jack $35 a day
per inmate.
Yeah. Per inmate.
Yeah.
That goes up fast.
Oh, yeah.
Because Woody picks up a lot of them. Well, they carry him down to the Trinity Police Department, and Stephen Jones books them. And then if they can't make bail immediately, they get shipped over to Cold Spring.
So do they just have an interlocal with San Jac County now? Because when I was covering things, there used to be Walker and Houston County, both that they had agreements
with. Yeah,
it's
just San Jac now. And on the non-jail side of things, I did a feature on a pair of Apple Springs students. They're actually sisters. Sorayla Lee was crowned the first Miss Trinity County Fair Queen.
Hmm.
Her sister, Shailin, who's a freshman, was crowned Teenage Miss Trinity County.
Hmm.
So good feature on them. And our page designer, Amanda, did a wonderful layout job on that. And
yeah.
The back page has all the pictures of all the candidates on it.
Okay.
Yeah. And,
so we've got rodeo royalty. And
yeah.
I did a pageant once in 9th grade.
You did?
I came like one of the last contestants.
You're the only person at this table that's done it.
It was the Miss Christmas pageant.
Miss Christmas.
Made in Louisiana.
Yeah.
I did really
bad. Pageant life.
I do have cousins that were Dairy Day Queen for Cleveland. They got in the paper because the oldest sister was passing the crown to the youngest one.
Oh, wow.
That's
very cool.
Cool.
Well, I'm that mom who I didn't even let my girls watch pageants.
You're wiser for it.
Yeah. I know people, there's a lot of people who are strong advocates. My friend Julie Mays thinks they're great, that it teaches you presentation skills and valuable things like that. And I'm just like, yeah. But it also teaches you that you learn everything important about somebody in an hour. And I just can't.
Right.
I can't sign on to that.
You know, on that note, We've got Dogwood Weekend coming up in Tyler County, and so we promoted in this week's paper Dogwood Princesses, one of whom is going to be the Dogwood Queen, of course. And I was at a Rotary Club meeting today, and I saw the young girls. Each one of them made a presentation at the meeting, and she was about who she was and whatnot. And it's really cool to see them do that and representing all the things that they've accomplished. But you can almost tell that a lot of them now, you know, we're so enmeshed in the text messaging generation that speaking before a group and public speaking, those are, and just, you know, communicating between one another is almost a lost art.
Yeah.
But still kudos to the young women who do those things, young girls and young women who do the pageants.
Yep. Meanwhile, back in Houston County.
So Latexo ISD announced their lone finalist in their superintendent search. It's their high school principal, Michael Woodard. So that last Thursday. So he's on the 21-day wait if everything goes through. I have seen when I worked for Longview ISD, their 21-day, the guy didn't pass it. So they had to do another search. But you never know. I'm just saying you never
know. That's Michael Woodard that actually lives in Corrigan, right? And he's on the Corrigan ISD
board. And he's worked
board.
In Livingston.
Yeah, he was Livingston Junior High principal. So Michael's been around everywhere.
Do y'all have good recommendations?
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, no, he seemed like a great guy. So if everything goes according to plan, he will start on April 1st.
All right.
So they'll be searching for a new principal, hopefully.
And that's no April Fool's joke.
I know. Uh-huh. A little drum.
A little drum.
Very nice.
And then just another hot topic that we have going on in Houston County. It's been forever since I started at the newspaper, is that there is not a local animal shelter.
Yeah.
And there was at the commissioner's court meeting on Tuesday, they had a local man, Gerald Reichel, who brought a petition with 800 signatures on in support of an animal shelter.
Right.
So, and it was during the public comments. So, of course, the commissioners can't say anything. But that's pretty much the size of Latexo.
Yeah.
Like all those people coming in support of an animal shelter, because we have CPAC, but they work more with sending animals to New York and like up north to get adopted. Because we have a downtown dog that everyone feeds and they can't catch it.
No.
And it's just, and I saw a lab down there. It's like, come on, people. Like, we have to do something for the animals.
It's a big issue. And I know we've had a debate over here in Polk County, too, because one of our cities has an ordinance reportedly against feeding strays, that you're not supposed to feed them at all. And there's just tons of literature out there from A&M and all that that say that harsh treatment does not minimize your number of strays.
Yeah. So hopefully they'll find something.
Yeah.
But then just another thing for community residents to be aware is that there is a scam going on with the Crockett mayor. A scammer is using her name and photo on the Facebook Messenger app telling people, hey, apply for this federal grant. You'll get $100,000.
Oh, yeah.
But the thing is, the mayor does not even have a Facebook. She still has a flip phone.
Okay, so if you get messages on Facebook Messenger from the Crockett mayor, it's not her.
Yep, be aware.
Do what I do and start asking them things that you know that person would know or you know how to respond. Yes. Like I had a
smoke them out.
Yeah, well, see, I had a person doing that with a profile that was one of my former Spanish teachers from high school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I asked them a question in Spanish.
Uh-oh.
And they were silent.
And the Russians can speak Spanish? Is that what you're saying? Yeah.
Well, see, like we had a conversation going for a little while. And, you know, because at first I thought, oh, you know, hey, Miss Lurie, how you doing? And all that. And then I started to realize it might be a bot because I realized it was a separate profile from the one that she had. And I wasn't friends with this profile. And then I mentioned it to a friend of mine and they said, why don't you ask him a question in Spanish? And I was like, that's a good idea. So I asked him a question in Spanish and no response.
La biblioteca.
No response. That's that was.
You
that
know was they it. Didn't. They did not attend one Donde day of Spanish if they can't do Donde está or
Como estás?
Well, Cerveza, por favor.
I could have thrown if I had thrown out Spanish gibberish. That would have, like, she would have been like, you know, what are you doing? This is poor sentence structure or something, you know, along those lines, you know, because, I mean, that's what it was. She was, you know, one of our high school Spanish teachers, and it was interesting. But, yeah, that's what I recommend doing is say something that – catch them in something where you know they will mess up. If you're not sure, like, say, you know, oh, yeah, I hope you had fun the other night, Friday night or something. Like, yeah, that was great. And then you'd say, well, we never hung out Friday, so
On that note, Jacob, sometimes when I'm at my parents' house, they'll get some call from an unknown number. Mm-hmm. I'll answer it and I'll, say Guten Tag, I'll start speaking to them in German, and they'll eventually hang up because they will not be able to understand a word I'm saying.
One of my favorite teachers I'm friends with, and had dinner with her and her husband Monday night, but she gets spoofed all the time on Facebook, and it'll be like, Dad, want you to friend her again, and all that stuff. So it's, I don't know what it is about picking out certain people and getting them over and over again.
I actually had a friend of mine on Facebook that got picked, and like I recognized the name, but it was odd because like I looked at the photo and it was gotten a photo of her body scantily clad, and then, like I was like, who? Like, because I recognized the name, I was like, who is this? And then I looked and I saw like there was information that was for an escort service, and I was like, oh, okay. So I was like, block that. And then I realized I actually did have the actual person on my friend list. So I went and I was like, hey, so-and-so, I just want to let you know there is someone, you know, running around impersonating you. So,
people who went to Livingston High School at my era, I always bring up one way you can always check out if it's really is Miss Hollenbeck or not, because Don White was in my speech class and he could get up and improv monologues for the whole class the whole time. And he would always get up and he would pretend that he was announcing the football game and talk about fifth quarter is going to be at Willie Bingham's junkyard, which was a real junkyard here quarter. In Livingston for fifth quarter. And we're going to have shot down buzzard and jelly rolls. So if you ask Miss Hollenbeck what the rest recipe for shot down buzzard is, and you don't get a real recipe back, you know it's to fake Miss Hollenbeck.
That's the way to do things. And knowing's half the battle.
Yes. So did we finish up with Houston County?
Pretty much. I just wanted to remind listeners that there is a big festival happening on March 30th. It's Davy Crockett Music and Arts Festival on Saturday, March 30th.
Oh, great.
There was an arts festival, and then there was the music festival, and they are combining for the first time.
Okay. When's the Fiddler's Festival?
That is in the fall.
Okay.
Yeah, the great Wade Bowen is going to be headlining this shindig. So
Jacob's doing the Macarena. Good Jason's deal. Doing the Macarena.
Yeah, I was going to say, no, I'm not. I'm not. You're going not full Macaranian. 90s.
Okay. Well, what would an episode of the East Texas News Roundup be with us all together where the names weren't confused at least once?
Yeah,
exactly.
So that's my job, is to call them the wrong name.
Our episode's complete. You confused me and Jacob. Yes.
Well, I haven't done Polk County yet, though, that's because we have the Trinity Nature's Livestock Show is about to start here.
Yay.
So if you live in Oak Forest, be sure to take the detour because you will be trapped. Nita Bowen or somebody will be out there trying to wave you into the fairgrounds and you can't go to your house because, God forbid, you don't go where Nita Bowen tries to make you go. She used to be the sergeant for DPS, so most of us mind her. But it starts Monday. Monday night is the washer tournament. Anybody want to go out there and chunk washers? The Pee Wee Show, another big highlight, is next Wednesday night.
Can we rewind back? They really throw washers.
Yeah. They really
washer
throw.
Pitching is a big thing here in Texas.
Dryer washer?
No.
And washers.
Little discs you put between the bolt and the net.
Airhead moment. Sorry.
Is the Pee Wee Show where people dress up like Pee Wee Herman?
No, it is not. It is where little bitty humans.
wee ones.
Show their pets, like their dog or their cat or their potbelly pig.
I actually know a guy who can do the Pee Wee Herman laugh. he has used it to very, very effective, the very effective manner.
And then on Thursday, we have the barbecue judging, ag mechanics judging, Queen's contest, and the rodeo at 7 o'clock. So if you're jonesing for a good rodeo, come on out.
I was about to say down
Fair
south.
Street.
I was about to say down south over here, we say rodeo.
Rodeo. And the big sale is Friday night. And that kind of reminds me, I saw big rodeo news out of Rodeo Houston, that other people who are having a rodeo right now.
Oh, yeah.
Those people.
Think they're big time.
I know a lot of Livingston folks are pretty active with the Houston rodeo, but they are talking about the lost and found. Guess what the most lost kids they've had in one day, according to the Lost and Found Committee for Rodeo Houston?
23.
35.
Woo.
35 people losing their kids at a Rodeo Houston, but they said there is a 100% return rate on children.
Good enough.
But for other lost articles, the return rate is not nearly that high. And they do hang on to everything they collect during the rodeo for 2 weeks. And then items like driver's license and credit cards are destroyed so that nobody can use your information. They get a lot of things like stuffed animals that they donate to local charities. And if you lose an item at Rodeo Houston, they have a lost and found office. And you can go by there, reclaim your kid. The weirdest article they've ever had is a set of dentures. So if you go to the rodeo, glue those puppies in good or just leave them at home.
The Lost Children thing reminds me of a Mystery Science Theater 3000 short called Johnny at the Fair.
Yeah.
Where Johnny runs off from his parents because they're doing some boring activities, but then they find him like 2 or 3 hours later.
Yeah. Number one, that would be terrifying to lose a kid.
Oh, absolutely.
At an event that big, but I'm well known for stapling my business card on the back of grandkids.
Get a leash
if I have to. Particularly the boys, we put them on a leash because I know people are saying that it's not that bad. You haven't had multiple two-year-olds to wrangle at one time.
You got to do what you got to do.
That's right.
Lost kid or leash.
Plus, it's really uncomfortable if you think about the height differential. If you're 3 years old and you have to do the whole event with your arm up over your head, how fun is that?
But you can get one, like little backpacks.
Yeah, we have one that's a backpack. And it has a Velcro strap that goes around the adult or sibling's hand. And then you can be Max Rao and run loose.
And you can always put them on your shoulders. Of course, your vertebrae start feeling numb. But
yeah.
Or just get a stroller.
We do strollers and wagons a lot. But, you
just lose them.
You can also take their hand and firmly grasp it.
There you go.
Well, I'm just saying, when you have to hold hands for 3 hours, it does get tiring if you're at a whole thing. So, did y'all see the news about the horse riding in the back of the pickup?
Yes. No.
Yes, that was hilarious.
That makes you proud to be from East Texas. Somebody has a job working with cattle, and their normal truck that they use to haul their horse would not start, so they had to go to their backup truck, which did not have a hitch on it. So he loaded the truck in the back of the pickup, but there was also no tailgate. So my heart kind of broke a little bit for the poor little horse because the horse seemed to be enjoying it. Yeah, I mean, they were
some air and everything.
It's been on all the Houston local affiliates that they were talking about it, but the horse kind of has his head over the cab of the truck like he's driving from the bed of the pickup. And they talk about that it is quite dangerous because if you slam on the brakes, I mean, the horse was tied, but he could still go off the side and drag feet, drag hooves. I guess he doesn't drag his feet, but it was kind of scary. But it was like, you know, only in Texas.
Yeah.
When you have to move your horse so that you can work the cows. But, you know, phone a friend.
I remember a time we were picking up a friend in Porter and his neighborhood horse gets out of someone's yard. And so as I'm leaving his house with him in the car and another friend of mine, we are just awkwardly watching this horse just prance along other people's property, going through yards and making sure it doesn't cut in front of me and I accidentally hit it and stuff like that. Just
did the horse go up to you and say, "Hello, I'm Mr. Ed"?
No, he did not. If he did, I would start to question whether or not if someone slipped something into a drink.
You'd had a medication error.
Medication error, something along those lines.
Yeah, well, I guess that's about it for this week. Have fun at the rodeo or livestock show in your area. Jacob.
Ah, she did it again.
You did it again.
She's making it for lost time.
I had an extra Jason I had to use somewhere.
Well, I wanted to mention we have something coming up here in Shepherd at the library. Shepherd Public Library is hosting people for different things, just creating some new events. And on March 19th, they're having a pianist there who's going to perform. I think she's performing music from the 30s and 40s, but don't quote me on that. But on April 2nd, local resident Yvonne Cones is going to do a presentation. Now, for those of you reading our paper, it's the same Yvonne Cones that writes the Did You Know column.
And she has a lovely British accent.
Yes, and that's funny you bring it up, because here's the thing. Yvonne is in her 70s. Her presentation is called I Was Born in an Air Raid.
Wow.
And the thing is, back when I was with The Advocate, we actually did do a feature on her, and she did tell me that she does have a few memories of, you know, when she was a little girl. Girl, like 2-3 years old, and they were in fear of bombings and stuff. So, I mean, it'll be an interesting presentation.
Okay. We don't know many people who were born in air raids, so.
Well, Frank Burns had an air raid bunker on MASH.
I was born in a snowstorm.
So you're a winter baby?
Yep.
All right. Well, I think we've covered the news from coast to coast for the Polk County Publishing Company family of newspapers. Thanks for joining us. Check the links nearby this page so that you can join us for Crime Behind the Pine Curtain, Humans of East Texas podcast that Megan does out of Houston County. And Chris, what's your other show?
Coming very soon, The Texas Connection.
The Texas Connection.
That's right.
And
Mine is the Fantastic Three.
The Fantastic Three. Jacob and Brian do East Texan Athletics.
Jason and Brian.
That too.
That's number three.
Make we apologize in advance for any confusion.
Yes. It's one of those. One of the guys and Brian.
It's been a while since we've seen one another. That's right. So we're allowed a few.
And I am going to launch another one. I'm going to still have all the murders and crime behind the pine curtain, and then we're going to talk about what else happens in the forest with Texas understory. So, cool. All the fun stuff in the forest happens in the understory. So, we'll Very see cool. what happens there.
Like
Take care, and we will see you next week, folks.
Ciao.
Bye.
Adios.